You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening, and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we kicked around several ideas, everything from bunting with two strikes to everything, really, pretty much. But we landed on trusting God. And what does that mean? Or how do we interpret that? And so, Zach, as you think about what does it mean to trust God, what does that mean for you?
Well, Matt, I'm going to turn it around today and I'm going to ask you the question. What does trusting God mean to you?
No, I'm going to be a good teacher and turn around and ask that question to you.
No. I always start. Why don't you start us today?
Because I'm not ready. No. I guess since I'm the one that thought about it, I should be leading us off here. So, you know, when I think about that, I think it's funny because I lean into Proverbs a little bit on this, and you know, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and I replace that word fear with the trust, and that, like, if you look at Scripture, one of the things that I think that humans struggle with in Scriptures is trusting God, that God's going to provide for them, that God's going to provide what they need for them. And so then when that trust breaks down, what happens is the disconnect of a relationship between the humans and God. And I think that trusting God means that we lean in even when we can't see the whole road ahead of us, trusting that God's going to put us in the right place in the right time, trusting that God is going to be with us in the midst of sorrow. I think one of the things that I've been able to see over the last 3 weeks in my congregation is how people are willing to trust God when they're facing death of loved ones. And I'm not gonna lie, I have heard some amazing stories or witnessed some amazing things in the last 3 weeks because of that, because of people who are willing to trust God in the midst of the sorrow or loss that they're facing, and just lean in and trust that God's gonna lead them out of this time of grief and sorrow. And think of the trust of taking big steps. It was funny. When I was looking at Facebook memories today, the announcement that I made last year of that we found a place to live, you know, and that we took a big step of coming out here, a leap of faith of trusting God, that God is leading us in the right direction, and that this is where God needs us to be at the time and place, and that it was definitely a big step of trust for us to reach out and do something completely not on the wall. And so I think it's about living in a healthy relationship with God, of trusting that God does love you and care for you, and you're willing to respect that trust and to step out or step up however you need to. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, certainly. Working backwards from kind of what you talked about, that's the most tangible thing for our family is, like you, we live in an itinerant system, meaning that we have people, bishops and district superintendents and powers that be that look at churches and look at us and through prayerful consideration call us to places, and we trust God a lot in that process. It just, as a family, of we believe wherever we are, is we're called to be there for that, for times such as this. And so, I mean, that's the most tangible way that we just, here's where we put a lot of trust in our day-to-day lives, in our well-being, in our careers, in our calls as pastors and as a family. A less tangible way, kind of like you, I dig in to the wisdom writings in the Old Testament, which I find that really funny, that we that we seek wisdom and trust in those kind of first, right? But for me, it's Ecclesiastes, I resonate so much with the book of Ecclesiastes. A little bit before you hit record, we were talking about Brian McLaren's book about doubt. I feel like Ecclesiastes is the original text for that, and just wondering through life and faith in the celebrations and the heavy stuff, the stuff that breaks our heart. We find all of that in Ecclesiastes throughout the whole book. I mean, it's truly a book where the writer is trying to just make sense of it all, and why life is the way it is, why, right? Like, that's the whole question. And my favorite question in the entire book of Ecclesiastes, it's really a through line through it all, is just any time the question's asked of what is going on here? What is all of this? The answer from the writer is often, it is what it is. He doesn't say that, but he says it's perfectly pointless. The world around us is that. And for me, that is such a beautiful picture of what we believe in grace, and that grace is always there. And oftentimes the reality and the heaviness of the world, we let it crush us when we worry about it, and we take it on, and we try to just embody all of that. And for me, when I remember, you know what, it's going to be okay. There's hope in all of this. I don't have to worry about it. And for me, you know, Ecclesiastes 3, you know, there's time for everything is used a lot for funeral services. And when I use that, I take it further than the point that there's a time for everything, because there is. There's that. But that the next section goes on to say, it's Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy, to enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it's the gift of God that all should eat, drink, and take pleasure in their toil. That for me brings a lot of hope, a lot of grace, and a lot of trust into this life and into my faith with God, that to know just those culmination of things, everything's perfectly pointless, right? There's for me, that brings a lot of hope. And I know for others, we need a plan. We want to see some things out here. But this, and just to wrap it into, here's the gift of God to live, to celebrate, but to also remember that we're human and things happen and we're not alone. That's where my trust in God comes from.
Yeah, I think that really it's about leaning in more than anything. And you know, it's always hard. I'm not, like, trusting God can be very difficult,
especially
if there are things that have happened in your life, you know, maybe abuses by religious people. I get that. Like, I'm not, trust me, as someone who lived in a community of Southern Baptists that told me constantly I'm going to hell, I totally understand those that have troubles with that. And that there, I want to give space for that and say, you know, that's okay. Like, having struggles, trusting God is fine. Like, that's okay. And I think that that's not said a lot, because, you know, it's the whole buy-in thing and getting people to buy in. Well, sometimes getting people to buy in is saying it's okay to, like, figure this out and just sit and wrestle with it and find yourself in a space that, you know, can be helpful for you. And I think that one of the things that the church can do and has done or can do is provide space for doubt and give permission to say it's okay to doubt this. It's okay to wrestle with this, because people for eons have done that.
It's a through line throughout all of Scripture, right? The Hebrew Bible into the New Testament. And then you look at our saints beyond, right? It is a through line. Oh God, where are you? Yeah. Right? What is happening? And why? Why have you forsaken me? You know, where did you go? David, right? Everybody. I mean, just everybody. Even Jesus has those moments of, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this way. And so I get a little passionate about when people dispose doubt, right? Because it's one of the most faithful questions we have is why, right? Like, we've got to quit disparaging, you know, Thomas out of the Gospels.
And look at you going all lectionary.
I know. We got to quit calling him Doubting Thomas, right? Like, that's not.
I'm okay with calling him Doubting Thomas because that's what he actually did do.
That's not the only thing he did.
Well, I know, but affirming the doubt is okay.
That's okay, yes. But when we use doubting as a disparaging word for Thomas, not okay.
Oh, right.
Right?
No.
Because if you'll read a half a dozen chapters earlier, Thomas is ready to go, right? And nobody else is.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
But the questions that he raises before Jesus comes in are great questions.
I don't disagree that
I think we overlook.
Yes.
And I think that we have developed a faith. And I say we because we've been a part of this. Like, you and I both have been a part of this. We have developed a faith where we've not allowed questions. Now look at what Jesus did. He asked questions to get the thought going. And I mean, there are definitely things I could point to in that. You know, we can look at how the Catholic Church developed a sense of authoritarianism that the priest only had the answers. And then you look at modern thought that things are black and white and that there's no room for question. Dear Lord, don't question the church. And I think that, giving permission to ask those questions, to wrestle with it, is something we've got to do a better job of.
Right, which is not what we do when we call Doubting Thomas in such a disparaging way.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Or you got to give a title to it somehow. I mean, you could call it questioning
Thomas's
Thomas.
Questions, right? No, that's the thing. But what we do when we do that is we tell the people sitting in the pews or out in our communities that doubt's not okay, right? Yeah. But just believe, yeah? So that's the point, right? We're trying to get to... how do we trust God? And it's the questions. It's being able to wrestle with that. It's being able to be human and faithful in our thought and our actions to say, you know what, today I just don't know, but I trust that that I'm not alone, right? I trust that I can ask the questions. I trust that I can wrestle with this and just be honest and be like, I don't know. I don't have it, right?
But it is also okay too to acknowledge that idea of that sometimes it's just good to have just the question.
And absolutely,
the answer is not available or not.
Yeah, don't have to
tangible.
Have an answer.
Mm-hmm. There are some things that we just don't know.
Right, we don't. Right, you know, we live in the holy mysteries quite a bit. Right, but us as clergy, one of the most faithful answers we can have is, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, no, I think that's. And I think that's a good place to land, is that trusting God is something that we all have to discern. It's something that we're all coming from different spaces and things and realizing that trusting in God. And I think that's the beauty of scripture, as you see time and time again, where people trust in God or distrust in God and what happens. And I think we can learn from that. And I think that the place to land today would be, it's okay to wrestle with whether or not you trust God. And I think that, and discern what does that look like for you. I think that's a good place to land. So
I think so too.
So we want to encourage you to go to our website at beardedtheologians.com and check out all of our great content and pick up a few items for those bearded theologians in your life. Or if you want to use it as a gag gift for something for someone who may not have a beard, that's a great way to do that. We also encourage you that wherever you listen to us on, give us a good review, because that helps us get our message out there. And don't be afraid to share, our podcast with others as well. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
Guys, I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.